yearning to play a few rounds of Gwent. That ought to set me straight.
Welcome to Commander's Horn Live. This is the first episode we've ever gone live on Twitch, and it's very, very exciting. We are Gwentmas Eve. We just finished watching the developer stream, and we have a lot to say about it. Hopefully, you all want to chat with us at the same time about it. We saw a lot of nerfs, a lot of buffs, a lot of changes, a lot of new art. All of that and so much more on this episode of Commander's Horn Live.
What's up, dude? Hey, for some reason, the audio's not syncing up perfectly. How's it look on your guys' end? Can you post in the chat?
They can't hear you. The music's still playing. And it's coming down. It's coming down. You can't, yeah. Eventually, we'll make it so you can hear that. It makes for great radio. All right. We're good. All right. Welcome to Commander's Horn Live. We're super excited to do this. It kind of came together last night. We just thought, hey, it would be a really good idea if we could sit down and talk about the stream that we just saw from CD Projekt Red, started at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because I still had the stream open. That's what that was, everybody. They closed the stream, and then they started playing some Witcher music. So we can't get mad at Witcher music because we love it so much.
We do.
So we just finished watching the developer stream. We watched them play about 5 games, I believe. In which they played every faction Scoia'tael twice, and we saw them play against every faction as well. We got to see a lot of, like, just quick glimpses into the changes in the cards, even though they said that the build that they were playing wouldn't necessarily be the build that we are going to be playing tomorrow, fingers crossed. But we should, Listapat just made a good point. We should post on Discord again that we are live. I don't know.
Yes, let's do it. I'll do it. I'll handle that.
I've got something. I got my hands tied on 2 different monitors for the stream. So Graybox is going to get right on that. And we're not going to get too deep on this. And because I paused the stream, I also lost the countdown.
Oh, crap.
There it is. It's counting down again. We're good. 21 hours, 52 minutes, and 27 seconds until the beta keys start going out. And we're playing Gwent ourselves. What else is there to say? Just really, really excited stuff. Hi, La Vegetaliana. Thanks so much for telling us that we're looking snazzy.
What's up?
We always appreciate your presence in the chat room, or any room, really, in my case.
But yeah, glad you joined us.
Yeah, great to join you. So I am joined by, I am one of your hosts, of course, Dane McBeard from Toronto, Canada, and I am joined by the man of steel himself, the brawler, the Pittsburgh provider of Priscilla pulverizing, Gray Boxer, Josh. Thank you so much for joining me on this live episode this afternoon. This is fun.
I am so excited to be on the show. I'm so excited to be doing this live for the first time ever. I am currently completely floored by the recent tweet by PlayGwent.
Well, we're talking recent. We're talking like minutes ago. So the tweet, you can't see it really. You probably can't see it, but you can probably make out who this is about. You see this lovely lady? We've gotten to know her very well. It appears Priscilla does not do what she used to do. Gray Boxer, give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on that before we start talking about the stream. This is obviously bigger news.
So this is breaking news. I mean, can we cue the music? Like...
Oh yeah, I wish I had all the stuff set up.
Breaking news bulletin. Yeah, so as soon as the stream was just about to end, PlayGwent posted a new picture of my beautiful lady Priscilla. They changed something about her, and it wasn't her outfit. They changed that instead of drawing 2 random cards from your deck and playing them, she now adds 1 strength to all non-gold units on your side of the battlefield. Worst.
Where's your Price is Right failure sound when you need him?
So terrible.
So we don't know how now. If that's the only change, you're not going to put her in your deck. But I have a feeling that you probably get a strength compensation. I don't know if she's 1 strength anymore if she's doing something like that, because that's, you know, not great. It's not interesting. It's not great. It's not super powerful feeling. So
mini unicorn.
I really do like that after they showed us all this great stuff, and then we get this tweet, and it's like another huge kind of what now? What is this? We have like a couple more questions still, even though we only have 21 hours, 49 minutes left until we're playing Gwent. So yeah, Priscilla nerfed. You could say that's safely a nerf.
Strong
nerf.
I just
want to say hi to everybody who's tuning in. Thanks for joining us. Mythic Pilot calling us Beardomancers. Yeah, you'd think I'd find somebody that was a little bit less like me to have conflicting point of views. But no, I just figured I'd pick up a guy who likes baseball, who has a beard, and agrees with me and likes Gwent just as much as me. So why listen to both of us when you could just listen to one of us?
Listen, neither one of us has got the beard game of Luigi, the game designer we just had on the CG Project Red.
Well, was his name? I think his name was Michael, but...
I got him as Luigi.
Well, that's not his name. We really appreciate Christian Steimer and Michael. I'm not afraid to pronounce his name. I just didn't write it down, so I don't think I got it. But Christian Steimer is the North American Community Manager. We've seen her on a couple things before. We've seen her at PAX West, where she was part of the panel that presented some of the information on the story mode, because I think at the time a lot of the competitive stuff was in the changes that we're currently seeing. Just want to say hello. I stopped at Mythic Pilot, but there are more people. There are more people in the chat. I want to say hello to Mahakaman, a.k.a. M. Melancholia. I want to say hello to Lost Nap. Thanks for joining us. Gum Gum Face Punch, always a pleasure to see you. Rockwell 9, more Discord representation. And Z Mulan, I just saw, I said something. Always great to have you in the channel. Thanks so much for joining us for this very exciting episode of Commander's Horn Live.
Yeah. Luigi also, I find his name. It's Mikhail Dobrowski. Dobrowski.
Yeah, that's probably right. It's the L at the end of his name that makes me feel like I don't know what I'm saying. But I think we can safely call him Michael Dobrowski. Hope he's not offended. We really appreciate his guidance through that stream.
Yeah, we have a little bit of the voice of reason appearing in the chat. We got King Blacktooth here telling us, hey, maybe they're wrong. They've been wrong on Twitter before. Maybe Priscilla will still draw two units from your deck and play them. Please.
True. Yeah. I mean, we do a pre-recorded show, right? So you don't get to see like the hot reactionary takes that we get when we get a Twitter post like immediately before going live. So who's to say, but is there another unit that they could be confusing it with? Who else gives one to all units in the battlefield?
Yeah, there's really only one Priscilla, so she is... rest in peace.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, hey, we'll tentatively, you know, we'll call the funeral parlor, but we won't book anything until tomorrow. We'll say, hey, we think something's going down.
I'll tell you who's not morbid, sad about this morbid change is Mahakaman.
Maybe.
After the game we played just right before the stream.
Gray
Priscilla chained like 8 units.
Quote from our boy Mahakaman: Gray Boxer beat the expletive out of me with her. I'm glad she changed. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think it's going to be a polarizing change. I think the people who loved her kind of they knew you know why you loved her. I'm looking at you, Gray Boxer. You know what you liked about her.
Yeah, guilty.
She gave you everything you wanted. You know, she spoiled you. That's not good. You need a partner who challenges you. Okay, everybody. That's a general statement.
She was the best.
What's up, Fire Gone 2? Yeah, you were fine with Priscilla? I mean, it's okay. I mean, I've seen Priscilla not do great. I mean, you need to have a deck that you can really abuse her with. So, like, if she's not good once, she might be good on, like, the fourth time you play her. I think that's maybe the biggest problem about her. I thought maybe you make her gold and she's okay. Or maybe make her pull special cards again and she's okay. But, again, it's not definitive. Nothing is confirmed. But it was on Twitter. So what do you say? Yeah. We have lots of other stuff to talk about, not just Priscilla, of course.
It's over. So what do you want? You guys want to start with the top? They went into Skellige first.
Yeah, where do you start? I got this notebook here that's just like a mishmash of stuff. So I got a lot of stuff. I filled about 3 pages of stuff. We can just go point by point. Do you want to lead us off with the first point? By all means, let's talk about we can talk about Skellige.
Sure. So, I mean, the first thing they changed is we noticed that Skellige is now going to be purple. We're going to have a lot of beautiful art changes that are happening that we haven't seen yet. The easiest one to notice is the change to all of the factions. They're going to have their assigned colors. It's going to be a lot easier to see what the units are when you're looking through your card collection and everything. So I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of the new art is awesome. The new Thunderbolt and Swallow Potions are amazing. I mean, kind of countless new art.
Here, we can kind of see. I just put up Oops. Well, we lost Gray Boxer. I apologize. I'll put Gray Boxer just back on. I tried to prepare this ahead of time so there were no hiccups. But just in case you wanted to see, if you missed it, there's no way you missed it because you were all just watching it. I know, but I just have on the screen here just a screenshot of the collection. But for some reason, when I changed the scene, I lost your video. So you can just see like that there's banners on the side of the cards now. It's not the diamonds. The diamonds appear to be gone from a design standpoint. And if you miss Gray Boxer, you can actually see him in the corner of the screenshot because I was on Skype with him at the time. But yeah, so Neutral has its kind of ragged banner. Skellige has his beautiful purple, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just going to go back to our other frame so we can have both of our hosts on the video. And we're back to the countdown. But yeah, the art was great. I really do enjoy the art change. Rip diamonds. Rip numbers and diamonds. But
I'm back.
I think it's better. I think it's better this way. So here's a note I had. We can just go note for note. I'll cross out the stuff that you say. Philippa Eilhart nerfed. No, sorry, buffed. She's buffed, isn't she? She's buffed.
Yeah, she's buffed. That's she only a huge does. Buff.
She's got 6 strength now and not 11, which I felt was maybe one of the most drastic changes that we saw, because that 11 strength really made it very restrictive and strategic on when you would need to play that, because you'd need to be annihilating like a fair amount of strength to offset that 11. Now, not so much. Now she's much more playable than she was. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so my initial reaction to seeing her pop out as a 6 is that she's going to end up being in a ton of my decks now, because I already liked using her in a lot of my Northern Realms decks, because I don't run a lot of weather in my Northern Realms, so she's almost like a weather card. But she's also versatile in that she's agile. You can play her on your own row if you need the strength.
Yeah.
I really love her. I liked her at 11, and I love her at a 6.
Yeah, she's good as a 6, I got to say. I think that maybe the 11 was like my turn off. I thought, you know, because when we got that Twitter break, right, and we saw Philippa did what she did, but we didn't know what the card looked like, and we didn't know what the strength she had, I was speculating that she'd have to be like a really high amount of strength to be balanced, and maybe that was a scary thing. Turns out that 6 is okay. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure they're going to monitor this kind of stuff. But you can tell like what the cards, you can tell like what cards that they were talking about, I guess, since Molster revealed all the cards on GwentDB. What cards have seen changes, like what maybe the problem cards that they identified early on before the beta. And Philippa must have been one of those cards.
Yeah, they must have done enough internal playtesting and kind of stumbled across the kind of Northern Realms builds that you and I have come across. And, you know, it's a needed change. I mean, it wouldn't take long for the meta to develop and have everybody just playing 100 cards per round with Philippa. I mean, I was regularly getting my decks completely out of unit cards playing Priscilla. Yeah. I'm switching them out now because I'm about to switch teams.
You miss her so much. I know. She's on your mind. You know, you can't stop thinking about her. King Blacktooth made a good point in the chat here that she does herd golds as well. That's kind of massive. Like, on top of being less of a risk to play, she's more beneficial to play as well. So, I think we got. I just want to make sure that I'm calling out everybody in the chat that's chatting and being a part of the discussion, because we don't normally get to do this when we cast. So it's a very cool live experience. And by the way, nothing but respect to everybody who has put together a live podcast gone live on Twitch to do this kind of stuff. It's not easy.
It's so hard.
It's not easy. You really need to be organized. You really need to have your stuff straight. So apologies in advance for any coughing, choking, nonsensical stuff that comes out of my mouth that I would maybe cut if it wasn't funny. You're all very understanding, and I love you, all of you.
I was going to ask a simple question. I hate to get so deep into card mechanics right away, but Philippa now, when she's a 6, is her setting the card strength to 1 on the row, is that a persistent effect, or is it a wound? And therefore, if it's a persistent effect, can you Radovid her and then get all your cards back up?
I think because there's no persistent effects, so I think that she does the wounding, and then she's finished for the day. And then Radovid can try to kill her, and oh no, Radovid can kill her now. You know, it's funny, lore-wise, I did like the lore, the flavor right. of Philippa being 11 and Radovid only being able to damage for 10 because of their history, and, you know, he was very not nice to her. So now Radovid can just snuff her, so it's okay. But I think that the wounding does happen.
Yeah, so that makes it so that Radovid's not really a counter to her, but I feel like it's almost like a flavor thing to just kill her anyway. Now you can.
Just a couple more art things that I wanted to point out, because I mean, I think we could talk about all of this stuff in great detail because there is a lot to cover. But the card counter, you can see exactly how many cards are in your opponent's deck and your deck just on the side there. It's great. It's a little confusing because it does count your leader card as well, but I think that it only takes a couple of games to understand that. But very, very appreciated by me. Just, you know, it's not like I can't count. It's just save me the precious milliseconds if the turns are going to stay, you know, 45, 60 seconds. But it was nice. It's definitely a quality of life improvement for a UI, and I think that you should always be working towards that for your players.
Yeah. Hey, Miracats in the chat asks, what do we think about Zoltan not receiving a buff from Barclay's Elves? Barclay's being the dwarf that adds +1 to all dwarves in your deck. Maybe they, in testing, found that using Barclay's and then maybe reviving him and then maybe decoying him and playing 2 or 3 times would make a resilient unit like Zoltan too powerful. We saw that they nerfed Zoltan from 8 to 5 already. Maybe they found that in playtesting that they couldn't have Barclay buffing gold Zoltans as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any confusion. Just to address some of the stuff that's being said in chat, we know it says non-gold. I think everybody knows that. But Zoltan is still a dwarf, and there are cards that seem to... Like, you wouldn't need to make the non-gold description because, to my knowledge, he's the only gold dwarf. Correct me if I'm wrong. Really, if you change the non-gold part, you would just be allowing Zoltan to get that buff. So is there an issue with Zoltan getting that buff? I don't know. I don't think from a balance, I don't think I have any business talking about it from balance. I think resilient units should be watched with caution, but I think we all know that resilient units can get their share of buffs and anyway. So there's all the Mahakaman guards are resilient. Yarpin is resilient and also a dwarf. Yeah. So I think maybe it just keeps him in check because it's really hard to remove gold cards. Or
I think he forgot about Animal Tamer, by the way.
I didn't know. Well, he's still Zoltan, right?
Yeah, still Zoltan. Both Zoltans, so. There's two of them, yeah.
But no, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't affect Zoltan. So Barclay and Zoltan, they don't see eye to eye, you could say.
Yeah, and to push back the other way too, we know that gold cards typically don't get buffed by silver cards for the most part. I can't think of a circumstance in which they would. But you and I playtested a Dwarven deck last night. Teller of Tales in our Discord had sent me a deck that was all dwarves. Very similar to what was actually played today on the stream. And we had played, the play was really to do put Barclay Elves out, buff all your dwarves, decoy him, play him again. But we were playing it as he was buffing all dwarves +2. Now, that made all the dwarves incredible and actually made this deck pretty strong. I'm a little bit disappointed to see that it's only +1 in the stream.
Well, they did do that. Yeah, it is only +1. But they were playing the decks in the same way that you were playing the deck last night, where right in the redraw phase, they're like, okay, we got Barclay, but we need our decoy. So it's like all about playing Barclay, decoying, playing Barclay again. And then just kind of, it almost kind of gives you like the Skellige perk where like now all your cards are +2. And we all know that's very strong. So shout out to Lil League for joining the chat. Always good to see you, my friend.
What's up, dude?
Yeah, so, Shifu, hey, I see you there. I see you, Shifu. Thanks for joining. Some of the colors on people's names are the same, so I may miss if I'm just glancing. But so Barclay Elves, that was definitely something that we saw. We got to see that Queensguard, Blue Stripes Commando, Wild Hunt Rider, and Reaver Scouts all do have the multi art still in place. So you will get 3 cards, but they all look different. It's a nice touch. Hope it's not confusing for anybody, but it's a nice touch.
Yeah, and we also saw a couple of other changes to the strength values of a number of cards. I think we saw Brenna Bran from the Battle of Brenna? Brenna?
The Brenna, no. Brenna Bran. Brenna Bran. Bran.
Anyway, she's somebody.
Was she not 9 anymore?
She was spouse. No, she got sent to the ranged row instead of the siege,
oh,
I think.
Oh, right. Yeah, so little tiny differences. Yeah, Brenna went to range, and crate raiders are 4 now. I didn't think that they were super strong at 6, but I guess they were.
You loved those guys. You played all of your brand decks.
I like King Brand, so I have theoried with those cards because they're very good there. Mm-hmm. But now they're not as good. At 4 strength, I mean... you're not playing them out of your deck. And I think that that's like the strong stuff, where you can play cards out of your deck without exhausting resources in your hand. But you kind of are using hand resources when you discard the End Create Raider and it's played. So I felt that it was fair as a six, because I still think that six is under average. But now at four, they're quite under average. So yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe Quan, Twisark, Skirmisher might be a better choice for that deck.
Yeah,
that's another discussion, I think, though.
Well, and that's a deck that also needs strength in it. We found out a couple times that the Uber Botchling was able to defeat like seven or eight Skelga cards. What else got changed? Oh, what was the redraw mechanic that got changed? Instead of drawing or discarding three from your hand, you actually just choose one out of the four.
Yeah.
With, Burnous Power, right?
That was big. Yeah. So Burnabrand. So the way that we were playing it and the way that I understood it, because I think this is how Last Wish also worked. And how the old Burnabrand worked in Kill the Servers, you drew your cards and then you could select your discards from your entire hand. But in the stream, Burna will draw you four cards, you pick one and discard the other three, and you can't discard the stuff in your hand. This makes her a little worse, I think, if you had if you had Raiders in your hand and you wanted to play them and you play Burna, you know, that's okay. But now you can't do that unless your Raider is in your like one of your four that you can play. So it's very different to the way I personally was understanding it. And I'm assuming that maybe Last Wish would play differently as well. And Ermion possibly. Well, no, Ermion wouldn't play differently because you only draw two. So you'd have to discard two from somewhere else. So I think that it was mainly just a Burna thing, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think it was Burna. Is it... we have basically the opportunity to choose four cards, and it's a pretty strong mechanic to have a spy unit where you actually choose the card. I would say definitely an improvement over Stennis. However, you also have the gold status and the extra strength, so it's a good balanced card. I think the change is nice.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe too flexible before, where you could discard from your own hand.
Mm-hmm.
You could be holding on to a lot of those Raiders.
You can
hang on to a bunch of them and discard them all from your hand. I mean, there's a number of ways that could be really strong. So,
I still think she's good. I'm still probably play her, but hello, Aqua Splash. I just wanted to get you before you scrolled into oblivion here, because I'm trying to keep track of people who are coming in. Siad Geth, always good to see you. Thanks for everybody from the Discord chat, anybody who is in the Twitch chat for the stream, or Twitter, or whoever got the message to come. We currently have 32 people watching us right now, and that's very, very exciting. Thank you so much for coming. We love doing this stuff. And Burna was not the only thing that was changed. We saw Dijkstra, who was not played in the game, but we did see him briefly on loading screen, like glimpses, as if it was a dream, but we did see it. He is now 5 strength. He is no longer 8 strength. Yeah, I have a feeling he was probably getting pretty out of control at 8.
Yeah. We haven't played any tabletop games with him.
Nope. Not one.
Just, that's a whole lot to, that's a whole lot of things to think about when you play Dijkstra, so he'll be strong. We have a question in chat about Decoy's rarity. Legendary.
I made a joke in Discord the other night where I said, if I don't get a decoy in my packs, I'm just not going to play. Because
right.
Why would you play? How can you play a deck with a decoy? But man, decoy being legendary, talk about your first craft legendary. I mean, if they have any sort of crafting system or any sort of wish listing or whatever they're going to do, it's just such an integral card to the game. It's just so important.
It's a free replay all the time. It's almost it's like that Squirtle leader, but even better, and it's only a silver. So I have them in every deck that I've built, including all of my Rest in Peace Priscilla decks. So
now Chess made a good point. Also hello to Chess, haha, in the chat as well. We got Ezo Maciek, apologies for not pronouncing that properly if I didn't get that right. Fire Gone too as well, good to see you as well. Jergi, always good to see you in the stream. So Chess just made a good point saying that the rarity is not correct right now, according to Rethis, the developer who keeps in close contact with a lot of the community right now. While I am aware that he said that, I was questioning the build that we just saw on the stream. They did say that the build that we saw on the stream is not the beta build. I'm sure it's close, but it's not quite it. And Rethis has told us in the past to not be too concerned about the rarity. But... Decoy being legendary, it's not far-fetched because of how good a card it is, but it is kind of like, you know, everybody should have it. I mean, even Witcher 3 Gwent players, all you had three decoys in your deck, and Decoy was like kind of the crux of the game. I don't think anybody would be confused by it. It's not like a too complicated card. So yeah, that's not news, really. I think we all knew that Decoy was classified as a legendary, and we all kind of hoped that we got one.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the necessary cards. It's neutral, it's silver, it's needed in most decks, and it's versatile. So if it is legendary, which we're not sure, the chat is saying that maybe it's not, because current rarity figures are not correct. You know what? If it ends up being legendary, I probably would be okay with it, only because I know if I don't have it, nobody else has got it for the most part. So until you do get it, you want to have that feeling like, I finally can build the deck that I want. That's how a legendary should make you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. So if everybody's just joining you, joining the chat, joining the stream, joining us, we are Commander's Horn Podcast. We do post every Thursday, every week, giving you quality Gwent content. You can find us at commandershorn.com, and you can find us on iTunes, and you can be subscribing as well. And we thank you very much for joining us. This is our first live show. Thanks again. But we're going to keep talking about some of the stuff that we saw. The Witchers, they changed. They are now back to a kind of a ragtag, one is stronger than the other two situation. Vesemir is 7, Lambert and Eskel are 6. Pretty strong, stronger than they were. So they were up, and then they came down to 5 even, and now they're back up, and Vesemir is the champ again. We got to see Vesemir's new art. What do you think about his new art? I don't know if I'm crazy about it, but it's still better than what it was.
Yeah, I mean, he's stabbing a wyvern, I think, or a griffin. I didn't look closely enough. I couldn't get the zoomed in on the stream. But, I mean, he's the 7. He's strong. You know what? The biggest change to me here is if you read closely the text of Thunderbolt while I was on the screen, it does add 6 strength to anyone who's a witcher. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, like, a certain name or the same name. It says to all witchers. So I think we can get confirmation there that Thunderbolt will be affecting witchers and be giving all of them +6 strength. And having Vesemir up at 7 means we're going to have Vesemir going up to 13, the other two up to 12. It's Scorch protection, you know, it's Geralt Igni protection. So
those are strong cards now.
There's spoiler flavor text to that too.
Yeah. Careful. There's some people in the stream that wouldn't want to hear that. So but it's really good. It's really good that we see there's a little bit more variance now. I do think it's good that one is stronger than the other because it definitely creates situations where you can't just play them and be like, well, they're all the same strength now. Let's just scorch them. But you brought up witchers. I just wanted to bring up that there are tribal tags for certain cards. We saw any elf. Underneath the name of the card, it says elf. All the dwarfs, it says dwarf. Under the potions, it says potion. So there are things out there that are more clearly labeled when it comes to stuff like Barkley Elves or any card that affects a group or a tribe of units.
Whether that fun of on the last podcast too, by the way. So now I feel bad. I feel terrible. So here's my chance to apologize.
What is the difference between a dwarf and an elf besides 5 feet of height? I mean, and beards. By the way, we're not, I know we both have beards, but we are elf friendly. We are not, we're not racist at all against elves.
Except for those Dolblethanna archers.
Except for Dolblethanna archers. We don't like those very much.
Yeah.
The only other thing I have written on this particular page of chicken scratch notes that I have, I felt that the gold cards were a little too dim as far as like identifying the different tiers of cards. I don't know if there's a lot to say about this. But I felt that they could have been a bit more sparkly. They could have been a bit more bright or yellow. But it all looked very kind of muted. The colors seem very muted. Whereas I think that, you know, this game would benefit from more vibrance, I guess.
Yeah, it was a little bit difficult to tell. There's a like a border around each of the cards, and it was pretty thin. It was kind of dim. I think if they made it shinier, I guess almost like a foil kind of shiny, around the card, it'd be a lot easier to see. We'll see if that changes in the future. They've been super responsive to making this game more user friendly, so we'll see.
Beard Nation, Gum Gum Face Punch, Beard Nation. It's okay if you don't have one, but if you can access one, you should grow one. They're nice.
If you can access a beard?
Yeah. Nick Beard is pro beard. Breaking news. All right, so what's up? Oh, the turn, I just want to say it seemed really smooth, the turn timers, the coin flip is no flipping of the coin now. It's just like turning the coin over. Instant, there's now like a your turn banner that comes up. It felt and looked good. Like it just really, you know, with the change in the artwork, with the colors that come along the side of the card, the turn timer, the cowed carter, like just the UI was clearly given a little love and it needed it, I think. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that and just in case anybody missed that kind of stuff.
Hey, you know what we haven't even gotten into yet?
What's that?
We haven't even talked about any of the changes to who was it?
Edge of my seat. Who are we talking
about?
Sorry,
the meta card build. You know,
the meta
Yeah, because we had Christine saying, you know, 40. I like building a 40 card deck.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We basically had Mikal come right back and say, no, you want to build 25.
Yeah, Little League, was that your favorite part of the broadcast? When
I hope he caught that part.
When Michael is like, no, don't make a 40-card deck. Don't ever do that. 25 is what you want.
Maybe 26 if you have musters. That's yeah. It.
We let you do more than 25 just to identify, you know, the noobs, whatever. I think that you can make a couple decks are okay. Like, just like a couple cards more than 25. But 40 is, that's out. You wouldn't want to do that. Yeah. I would do it on stream for fun. I would make a 40 card crazy clown fiesta deck, believe me. But I think competitively you wouldn't want to do anything like that.
There's one on Gwent DB that's 103, isn't there?
It's like there is, yeah. It's man, you can't keep that deck down. There's a secret. Meerkats, you know, knows the secret.
Suddenly that deck is better than my deck.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Guys, don't do this, says Little League. Just please don't put 40 cards in your deck. He's begging. He's pleading. That's great stuff. What else do we have here? Saskia. We saw Saskia, who is in her human form. 5 strength now. Only buffs one and then removes one from either side of the board. So she's not quite as strong as she is. She's a little stronger herself. She's a little less of a dragon and more of a human. So, I mean, there's not a lot to say there. It's just that they changed her. She's less than she was.
Less effective.
Now, you didn't think she was that strong to begin with. Am I correct?
Well, until last night, I won a game with it.
You did.
I think I got mad when I drew her on the river. It was round 3. She's frowned.
Yeah.
It was round 3, and I drew Saskia, and I just thought, oh, this isn't going to work the way I wanted. And it ended up removing like exactly enough strength and adding enough to my board where I won. And I thought, oh,
it was okay, though.
I was wrong.
I think there's a lot of like things that we kind of regretted about those games. Like, oh, if I just did this. Well, maybe just me because I lost all of the games. But that's
okay. And then came back to me, well, I would have won if this. Or I actually did win by 2, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad we played those, though. It was just really good to play right before this. Just as a nice, just keep this. It made me a bit more perceptive to see like all the little changes.
Yeah. Hey, so, and we found out the Scoia'tael starter is going to be, the starter leader is Francesca. So the Super Mulligan is going to be how everybody starts out.
Yeah, Francesca being your Scoia'tael starter. Surprising, I think.
It's strong.
Is it strong?
It's as strong as Brenna Brand almost. It is as strong as Brenna Brand because you get a free mulligan, but you don't give up 9 strength and you get to choose. Right?
And you don't spend a card, so it's kind of like you get a card, kind of. You get a card, you discard 3 cards. Yes, it is similar to Brenna Brand with no risk. I mean, when you look at it like that, that's really good. Although Brenna Brand is kind of excellent in Skellige decks, and I wouldn't think that she would be as excellent in a Scoia'tael deck.
Right.
One of the reasons why I think everybody felt Last Wish was kind of out of place and Kill the Servers. But yeah, I think that she's just maybe the least interesting of the 3 heroes, but
yeah,
if she's going to be the starter, we're going to see a lot more Francesca than maybe we expected to if everybody starts with her. I think, yeah, we have some feedback in the chat where people think that Francesca is the weakest Scoia'tael leader, and I don't blame people for saying that because Bruver and Aethna, which is how they pronounced it on the stream, by the way, I know people have been saying Enya, but they did say Aethna.
Enya.
I think it was. I have it written here, Ethna. I wrote it phonetically. So.
Ethna, nice work. Yeah, nice work. We have a lot of questions in chat relating to something else that came out about the ranked mode not appearing in the beta.
Oh.
Coming in the future, but not now.
Mm-hmm,
How do you feel about that, McBeard?
I didn't expect it to be there, but I do like that there's clearly a leveling system, so we're going to get some sort of progression. There's icons, like you had a little icon. So on the stream, there was a little icon that showed Geralt's face. There was your name, and then there was your level, and then there was your title when you played. So the CD Projekt Red members both had CD Projekt Red. So that means from a progression standpoint, I'm gaining levels, I'm gaining icons, I'm gaining titles, and just, you know, mm-hmm. this is like the video game nerdiness in me. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I'm right. kind of all about. Like, you know, you play games like any competitive game online that allows you to collect things that kind of show off stuff. Hearthstone has its card backs, and, you know, like League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm, you can collect icons and special things in there too. Meanwhile, the rest of the game is not changing. You're still going into every game the same, but you get these little perks that just kind of identify you as like your gaming history. So I hope that there's a wide array of titles and icons, and the leveling system provides cool rewards. The ranking will come. I'm okay playing casual anyway, because I think, you know, I think I'd probably sink right to the bottom at first anyway. But I don't know how you feel
terrible.
About it.
I would be so sweaty if it was like beta comes out tomorrow, ranked right away. I'd be like, I feel like I'd get caught with my pants down if I didn't get the right kegs opened and got a decent deck to start with. And that actually takes a lot of pressure off of us when we're trying to be people who are learning a lot about the game and posting what we think about the game and being the experts in the room. Mm-hmm. For us to have ranked right away and then maybe not be at the top would actually make us sweat a lot. So we do yeah. play a lot now, so we have pretty good experience. I think we would have won with each one of the hands that the streamer had today, and they made some misplays. I think a lot of you guys probably feel the same. But we do get custom matches, or rather private matches. If you have a friend on GOG that you want to play against, you can play them during the beta. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. we can do tournaments. We can do just about anything that has to do with competition, just not an actual ladder to climb.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we all have friends on GOG. I think that that's one of the things that we kind of... I set up a little friend network. I think everybody has their friend network. So very good stuff. I think that when the ranked comes, I think it'll be nice for everybody to have some time to get used to the game before we start actually ranking people based on skill, because I think skill level wise, even the best players are going to learn things and get better as they play. So let's maybe narrow the field a little bit from like the person who's never even touched the game to the people that have been following the game for months and months. Just narrow that just a little bit more. And then we'll introduce ranked. I think that's probably the best way to do it. Just kind of add things in piecemeal to beta. A question I have, and I know we didn't even talk about this. Does anybody think that Nilfgaard is going to come in before launch, the way they were talking about it, before launch time? Or if it's going to be maybe like the first piece of content that we get after launch?
You know, I've been thinking about that.
I'm going to pose that to the audience.
You know, every morning I wake up and I think about Gwent. And I think about where it's going, and I think about what we're going to do. No, but I really do think about what they're going to do with Nilfgaard, and one of them is, like, this is a simple expansion play for them. I mean, they have basically a ready-made deck full of characters that they just need to figure out how to balance. Then they've got a paid expansion, and if the paid expansion is Nilfgaard, and we know that Nilfgaard's a pretty dominant faction from Old Gwent in The Witcher 3, I think people will pony up for it. So from a company point of view, is from a business perspective, I think it'll come in an expansion. But the way they talked about it today, I thought maybe it's going to come at launch. They just haven't figured out how to balance it yet.
Yeah, they're already talking about how the mechanics work. Like they said that the mechanics are going to involve like revealing information from your opponent, like actually seeing cards in the opponent's deck or hand. That makes me a little uneasy. I don't know. Like that's really good. Like information is the name of the game in card games. If you can put your opponent on something, then yeah. you can play around it with like basically it's almost like cheating. So like having x-ray vision into something. So if it's like pick a random card in your opponent's hand and look at it and you see the scorch, you're golden. You know exactly what to fear, I think. So
yeah. And so I think that that's the game design perspective. They can't figure out whether or not you should lose card advantage to be able to see that, or should it be just a plain leader ability? Because we did have the leader ability for the Nilfgaard faction that you could view, three random cards from your opponent's deck in Old Gwent?
Is that how it worked? Yeah.
Yeah, there is a leader ability that will let you do that. I never used that because Nilfgaard also had, I think, a medic ability. So I always just used that.
I can't remember, but probably. I feel like, yeah, they did. And they had like a bunch of like really strong units that were buffable. I remember that. Like the Zakarian ballista arrow launcher or something. It was very strong, and they had the black something archer was 10. Anyway, that's Witcher 3, Gwent. It's ancient history.
Yeah, it's ancient.
No need to worry about anything we just said there.
they've had their hands all over our Gwent.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Gwent. So
let's talk about monsters for a second, because there's some cool stuff that we saw in the monster deck. First of all, you caught it. I may have missed it. That the starting we're starting with a deck for each faction. That was information that we got. So that and quote quite a few cards to build and tune decks from those cards. So it could be a wide array of cards. It could be a wide array of rarity. It's very possible that we start with a decoy. I mean, I don't know, but we'll see. But for monsters, the starting card is Aridin, and you caught that on stream. Is that correct?
Yeah, so they basically were going into the monsters deck building portion, and Mikal was like, yeah, so you'll get Aridin to start with. He's a very easy card, and he's very versatile, and he's easy to understand. And that's kind of what we've been talking about in Discord. Like, this card is great, all right? Mm. He's easy to figure out. He's going to be a new player-friendly leader to figure out, unlike Francesca, maybe, or unlike Kingbran.
Albran. I love my Albran. I hope that deck's competitive, because I have fun theory fake gaming that deck. So it's although it's worse now because and create Raider buffs, but we'll see.
Just add raisins.
Just add two scoops of raisins for sure. That's a raisin brand. Sorry. So yeah, so they played this great monster deck, this Consume Death Wish deck, and just gonna call it something in the chat. Oh man, it's scrolling fast. I'm not used to this. I love it.
Yeah.
So we had someone who was talking about Ezomachiek, apologies for the pronunciation. I just wanted to comment that there was a turn in which the monsters achieved 100 strength, a nice even triple digits. It was after a pass, and it was after kind of like BMing a little bit. The opponent couldn't react or stop any of it, but it was not even necessary. They didn't have to hit the 100; they already were dominating in that game. I'm actually getting mixed up. We're talking about the deck that Christine Steimer was playing that got to 100. But the opposing deck, when there was a Death Wish Consume deck, that was the deck that won in two rounds. So it seemed strong. It had the elementals and the golems in it. It had the Arrakis. It had this great play in which the four Arrakises came out when the Akamara consumed another six strength unit. I can't quite recall everything. I know it just happened, but a lot of stuff happened. But it seemed like there were a couple of turns there where so much happened at once that, you know, my tabletop simulator mind was thinking, man, that would have taken a half an hour to resolve that one. It's just so nice to see Gwent handle all those computations immediately themselves.
And as a side note, the targeting and attacking mechanics of the cards where you wound look awesome. And they look very smooth, fluid, and, you know, since a lot of cards do have wounding now, I like to see that effect be a smooth transition and changes the power. It's all very clear. But I did notice that the way we've been playing in tabletop is that spawning the Arrakis, when you play the Arrakis Behemoth, we use those as two strength tokens. They weren't cards in your deck. But when they played it today, those Arrakis were unit cards that they played out of the deck.
Yep.
So I think that's a big change. And I'm not sure how I feel about it, actually.
I was about to say, Gray Boxer in the chat says that Arrakis are musters, but also Gray Boxer on the stream just said that as well. So no need to say it twice.
All right.
Yeah. But so there's a couple of plays like that where a bunch of stuff was happening at once.
Yeah.
And there is another crazy play that I actually don't think I understood it when it was happening, because the Fireball Trap was a card that we're not super familiar with. But I recall, and there's a reason why I'm mentioning this now, because it goes back to the Monsters deck. But the Fireball Trap went off and it killed a bunch of stuff, and it spawned six Neophytes on Christine's side of the board. And it was just like, how did that happen? Like, did I not get a chance to really process what the Fireball Trap did? But the only reason why I'm saying this, and we'll go back to talking about Neophytes, because there was a couple games played with Neophytes, but that Draug play into those Neophytes that just destroy the entire board, I just got to say that that was definitely the moment in which, like, I definitely sat back and when Draug hit the board and just obliterated everything, clapping. Yeah, we were like,
we went
oh! It was such
and
like
the
a
crowd went wild.
I really felt like I was watching like a pro game, and like, you know, the announcers would be like, oh man, what is that last card? If it's an epidemic, it could be pretty crazy. And then Drought comes down, which is basically better than that. And
did we read it right that he is now destroying units at 3 strength and under?
3 and under, not less than 3. 3 that under. So that's really good. Really good card. But I don't know if you had anything to say about neophytes, because we saw a lot of neophyte action and a lot of trap action as well, which is Scoia'tael's specialty.
Yeah, that's it, man. And I think that the trap, we're not quite sure whether or not it targets one and deals 5 damage, or does it just deal 5 random damage among the row, and every unit that's killed spawns a neophyte. I feel like the latter way is the way it has to work, because we saw a bunch of neophytes spawned, but there was only a couple of 1 strength units on the row, so it has to. It can't just target one.
For sure. Yeah. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And they did a really good job explaining stuff. And I think that even when they made like misplays, that they even like they would catch themselves and say, oh, you know, we may not have normally done that, or we could have maybe done that differently. Even the stuff that we were cringing about, I think everything was addressed. They were definitely all there. Everybody was in the know. Everybody felt like they were. I felt like the decks, on the most part, were played or at least looked at in the best way that they could have been looked at.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some there the two-turn monster domination from the Death Wish Consume, it opened my eyes a little bit on how strong a deck like that could be, because I didn't really consider that yet from the beta stuff that we had seen.
I did like the use of the Thunderbolts with the Neophyte deck, and of course you're going to build a Neophyte deck with Thunderbolts, but I don't know if I'm just a simpleton, or I just didn't think that Thunderbolts could affect units among separate rows, which also brings me to the point that the Neophytes spawn on random rows all the time, so that also makes them less weak to things like Lacerate. So I feel like that was kind of cool to see the way that played out with the random unit placing or random row placement.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at some of the stuff that's being said in the chat. There's a lot being said in the chat right now. But
he doesn't like that they spawn into a random row because they could spring a trap.
Yeah, it is kind of strange that they're just kind of all over the place. But that seems to be exactly how it was. But we saw enough of those things spawn in that stream to understand that they are going to a random row. Very roach-like there. Little League says that people might be a little salty with the salt twitch emote when they jump into a trap.
So what's up with this Caranthir's the Wild Hunt Hounds that he spawned? It killed the first one, the trap they had on the row.
I think that was a little buggy.
Killed the second. So what do we think here, you guys, with all this tech knowledge that might be able to help us out here? When Caranthir spawns 2 Wild Hunt Wolves, and the trap says when a non-gold unit appears in this row, it springs a trap. Does it kill the first one? And then kill and deal damage among the row, and then Caranthir spawns a second one, or do they both appear at the same time and therefore both should be killed?
Well, I think the way the game was understanding it, and I think that that's just the way it's programmed, is that the first non-gold unit was the Frost Hound. It resolved the trap on the row. The row was nuked, how it was, because this was a trapper, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, it was one that would affect
Dolbuth on a trapper,
the whole
right?
row. Yeah. And then the second one came out because the first one had already triggered the trap, resolved the trap, and then the second one was played. I actually, thinking about it, I think at the time it felt buggy, but it kind of makes sense. If they're played in a succession, if that's how it's meant to be. So then that's like a key piece of knowledge, I think, for like, that's one of those like experience-based things you just kind of know inherently once you play like 100 games and you've seen Caranthir, like this happens to units that get spawned kind of in succession. So, but it's definitely not clear. That's definitely not clear. That surprised me when I saw it.
So I think that's one of the questions we want to resolve about the way units spawn. And I think that Monsters has that particular issue with the way units spawn. If we're having Monster Nests spawn additional monsters and stuff like that, and it's activating traps, we want to know whether or not we're sacrificing all of the things that we want to spawn, or if we're just sacrificing the first. It makes a play and the math involved therein a lot easier to figure out if we know for sure.
We got to see a lot of the golems being played and how their Death Wish kind of spawns lesser golems, the Earth Elemental and the lesser Earth Elementals. And Fire Elemental as well, spawning units every turn. Looks strong. That card looks pretty good. We saw get to see Margarita as well, and how she sponsored Banard add-ups and how that works. I just know that a lot of these token cards were very much, you know, we think we know, but it, you needed to see it sort of thing. So it was really nice to see all of those cards.
I did not see if Sarah was weatherproof, and we were upset because we were on Skype talking about the stream as it happened. Because we have, sorry, I'm saying this out of the blue. S.O. Masiak is asking whether or not Sarah is now weatherproof. They didn't even play her before the weather either, so we don't know whether or not Ragnarok is going to add 3 per row of weather. We have no idea what Sarah's going to do because we never saw her in action yet. So I also didn't see whether or not she's weatherproof. So we don't know anything about Sarah based on this stream.
That was... Sarah is immune to Sarah, says Listapet. Because you don't play. Yeah, but I mean, like, I know he corrected himself. He meant to say immune to weather. Listapet is saying that she is immune to weather, but I think the missed opportunity for sure was understanding that if you play Sarah and you play Ragnarok, does she get buff, buff, buff? It sounds like she would. I think the wording on the card is that she would, but we didn't see it because that wasn't the play that was made. It should have been,
right.
But it wasn't. Fontagged, hello and welcome to the channel, by the way. Fontagged says that Sarah is immune to weather, saw the card text on the screen. So there definitely was like glimpses of, oh, did you see that? Did you catch that? Like a lot of the card text had some subtle changes. So it's possible that, yeah, it's definitely immune to weather. So thanks for the clarification, all of you in chat. Thank you to Fontagged for that.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
A lot of people think the monsters are going to be the most popular deck being played out of the gates. I still think Northern Realms is going to be the most popular, but we'll see. Just because I think Northern Realms is home to the Witcher 3 Gwent player, and Monsters wasn't great in Witcher 3. I think that this people coming in that haven't been as close to the game as us are like, I think that those they would go more to Northern Realms than Monsters. But you play against Monsters and you see, maybe you see how fun it is.
Tons of weather means it looks stronger than it is, because unless you know the counters to weather, such as running Thunderbolt buff decks and stuff like that, or clear skies, you know, weather's going to seem so powerful, and then all these monsters look so, you know, strong, and that your leader ability is a 10 strength gold unit. I mean, I can definitely see a lot of new players gravitating towards monsters too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So I think we're going to talk about just a couple more things, maybe just about 5 more minutes to talking, but we would love to address some questions in chat. So start pumping out some questions for us if you have any questions about the stream, what we think about anything that happened, any speculation about the future of the game, which is, arguably 21 minutes, or 21 hours, 2 minutes and 19 seconds away at the time of me speaking these words.
Yeah.
So pop some questions in the chat. We'd love to interact with you guys as much as possible because we are live, and that novelty is not wearing off on me.
Hey, did you see that Avalok was nerfed to 6?
He's
6 strength.
Yep. Avalok got a little bit of a nerf, as he should have. I think 4 was just way too low risk. So Avalok now does the same thing. 2 more power, not the end of the world, but I think that it's definitely a step in the right direction when you're drawing 2 cards. It's just, it's straight up advantage. 6 for sure. What else do I have here? Yennefer also, no longer a 9 strength card. And this is actually something that I had just talked about on Shifu of the Cards and Ruben, their host of their Gwent After Dark. I was fortunate enough to be a part of that, and we were talking about some of the cards that we saw, and I was expressing that I couldn't believe that Yennefer did what she did and was still a 9 strength unit. I was quickly corrected on the mechanics of the card, and then I retracted my opinion, but it seems that 9 is too high anyway. So she's 6 now. She still does the same stuff, +2 or -2 the entire battlefield with her unicorn or her ugly ass Cryonex card. Like this emaciated demon unicorn. Get out of my nightmares. But yeah, she's 6 strength now. So her power level, I guess, was a small concern at the time.
Yeah, anybody have the actual name of the unicorn that damages the units on the other side of the board? Or no, it was all units, right?
It's all units. That's the thing. That's the thing that I got wrong yesterday. I actually thought that you choose the side of the board that it affects, and like, why would you play Zoltan when you could play Yennefer, kind of thing? But it is the whole, it is everything. And now Yennefer is weaker than Zoltan, so there is your answer. I feel like she just kind of was brought more in line, and she's still very different from Zoltan in kind of the utility that she provides. So she does feel, I think she feels bad. I was always looking at her like nine, like that's seems strong, and she also affects herself. Her Cryonex or Keonex ability does also, it affects gold units because it also hurts her. So when you play the unicorn or the anti-unicorn, Yennefer goes from 6 until 4. It's 2-4, so.
Yeah. There's also isn't there a counter to the unicorn that exists? What's the card that has the counter to the unicorn?
To the unicorn.
Because it's good to know what's going on as far as Yennefer's strength goes and as far as what the buffs are going to be provided. I want to know what card counters the unicorn or receives additional effects from the unicorn. There are a couple.
You might want to play her in a wounding deck, perhaps. I think maybe you'd get benefit there, in which case you would devastate your opponent's board, Stamelford Tremors style, and you would also hurt yourself, but it would be okay. I think maybe that would be a good place to put it.
With a herald.
Herald is good for sure.
Did we see a new card show up today?
Yeah, I think the card you're referring to is Vried Dragoon.
Yeah.
The effect felt like it was, first of all, the Vried Commando was changed. Now it only spawns one neophyte and not two. But then there was the Vried Dragoon. Whenever the strength of this unit changes, I believe it was a 5-strength range unit, or an agile unit. Whenever the strength of this unit changes and it is not destroyed, spawn one neophyte. I don't remember that being in the DB. Could be wrong. Could have been a different name, but it felt like it was a new card.
Buff, buff, buff. Buff Scoia'tael decks are going to be super strong with these in there. You're going to want three of them. So,
yeah,
for sure. Because you could buff your neophytes, or you could buff other units to be scorched targets and then spawn neophytes, and then you're going to spawn more neophytes when you thunderbolt the neophytes, or you thunderbolt the if you've got three of those guys down, you know, ton of synergy to build up there. These guys are awesome. The 5-strength agiles. Yeah.
So I'm just going to actually just switch the frame over because we were talking about new cards. I'm going to lose Gray Boxer again.
Bye.
I don't know if I can get him back quickly enough to even bother here, but I just want to draw attention to the amount of cards that it's showing for each faction. So we have 43 neutrals, 44 monsters, 43 Northern Realms, 38 Scoia'tael, and 43 Skellige. So I was surprised to see there be a disparity between the factions and the amount of cards they have. I have a feeling that is going to be evened out, or something is going to happen. So you can make an argument that 44 might be where you want to be, and every faction is going to get more cards. I just wanted to show that because it seems like it wouldn't make a lot of sense for there to be less cards for one faction than the other. What's the benefit? How is that as balanced? Less options shouldn't be if I want to play a certain way. Would love to hear anybody's thoughts on that. Gray Boxer, of course, you go first.
Yeah, so hold on a minute. I was just reading something from Fontage just talking about Gwent DB has been updated. Yeah, we know that. We just saw that's been all updated.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you for updating. Gwent DB looks cool. I'm checking it out right now.
Yeah, so I was looking at all the cards and whether or not we think we're going to have 40 or anything like that. I'm not really sure. I don't know if there's an ideal number or if we need parity. Do we need to have – I think it's a good question. Do we need to have 43 or 44 in every deck for it to be equal? I mean, are they going to run out of ideas? They brought that up on the stream. What if we run out of characters, you know? They also dodged that question as soon as they brought it up.
Yeah, no, that kind of stuff remains to be seen. I feel like it should be evened out. But I did go look at the new Gwent DB site, and boy, that number one deck, that top deck –
hey.
What is that? Beauty and the Beast, NR Supremacy by Gray Boxer.
No,
oh my
vote
God.
It down. You need
plus
to vote
12
it down.
Votes. Yeah. Why are we voting it down now? Why?
Because Priscilla is dead. You know what I'll do?
Because the deck isn't good anymore.
Basically, Priscilla has been nerfed, so the deck doesn't work like it used to work. The deck is still beautiful. If you want to upvote an old deck because it used to be great, but you've actually never seen it great, go ahead. But if I'm going to come up with something new, don't you worry. I'm going to come up with a Priscilla-based deck that will work.
Stretch A in the chat here. Thanks. Hello, Stretch A. Good to see you. He says, anybody else see 207 out of 208 cards? So there's one golden neutral card missing that we haven't seen yet. I mean, I got to look at that. I got to look at that screen again. But
who's missing?
But I mean, hold on. I'm just gonna jump back 1 second here because it's the neutral card that. Well, Skellige's also missing three cards. Or is that a 40? I actually can't see based on my preview is too small. No, okay, I can see it now. Yeah, the one card that's missing is a neutral card. Why are we saying that's a golden card? Was that clear that it was a golden card that was missing?
It doesn't seem to say that. It just says all factions neutral missing. So who's missing? Is there a character from The Witcher that we want to see that isn't there yet?
I don't know. Maybe it's I don't know. Who's in neutral, right? It's funny when I saw that Zoltan was Scoia'tael, I thought that all the strong story characters would all be neutral. You got Geralt, Ciri, Yennefer, Triss, they're all neutral cards, so
yeah.
Maybe Zoltan would be as well, but it isn't. But who's a neutral card that hasn't been addressed yet? Like they're all there.
A lot of the main characters are all there.
Yeah, they're all there. Geralt Ard, perhaps, as we can see here, on this side of the screen here, as he just constantly is flipping this table in rage.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Geralt Ard where he just blows all the cards off the opponent's side of the deck.
No, he pushes everybody to the back row or something like crazy like that.
Yeah,
that
pushes
great.
All melee and range to the siege row. And right, then guys. You set up the Geralt Igni. Boom.
I'm just receiving a coffee. Thank you.
You're receiving a coffee?
Cheers. I need one. Gone. It's been a long day. Thank you very much. So here, if you have any questions for us, it really helps if you do at Commander's Horn for the channel so we can see kind of that highlighted in the chat. So I'm just going to scroll up and see if we can get some questions here because there is a few. Sarah's immune to weather. We saw that one. So let's talk about... So Lil League just wants to tell everybody that Philippa is the new Dr. Boom. And if you don't understand Hearthstone, what he's saying is Philippa is a card that everybody's going to want to be nerfed for as long as it's a card, generally. He also could be commenting on how people think that she's not as strong as she actually is. There's two ways you can take that. But generally, it was it made more sense in Hearthstone because there's mana costs and things you can play on specific turns. And Dr. Boom was such a good card that you'd always play it on the turn that you could play at the seventh turn. But Philippa, you can play anytime you want. But it's fun. I like these little callbacks to card games of old and current that have their own storied history of development cycles and fans having very, very passionate opinions. I love that stuff. That's like the rich, juicy narrative that I got into this for because I love commenting on that stuff. So we got a question here from Fontagged. I'm not sure if you're aware, since I wasn't concentrating on the stream for 20 minutes, but Gwent... Oh, okay, that was just about Gwent DB's update.
Gwent DB,
I'm not very good at reading questions, everybody. So here's one from Chess. Legit question. Do you guys think that it's a little too low, the amount of cards total? So we saw 208. Do we think that that's too low? Do we think 50 per faction would create more variety?
Okay.
I think more cards would always create more variety. I think 208 is... I think it's okay. I think it's okay to start. I think that's a lot of cards to start. I think I'm fine with that number.
So CD Projekt Red has said that the beta cards are not the amount of cards that are going to be available at launch. And I think we've even talked about that with maybe even Nilfgaard coming for launch. So I think 208 is plenty for the beta. I mean, I'm happy to be able to build a deck with the current cards we have now and have the chance to craft a number of different types of decks. I mean, there's at least three or four archetypes that'll work for each type of deck, building synergy. So 50 would be nice. I mean, I don't think 50. I mean, give me 50 cards.
Hey, I love variety, especially faction-specific variety.
But I think adding more cards does create a meta, actually, because there's going to be more and more clear cards that are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, right now, they're just trying to get some testing done and get some balance work done with this beta.
With the beta, as you might say, if you're from the UK.
The beta. So, I'm good with 40-something. Give me 50 at launch.
Yeah, and you mentioned that we haven't seen all the cards yet, and I think that the most telling part about that is that we've seen a lot of art for cards that we haven't seen yet, specifically Coral, two pieces of art there for her. Not saying there's going to be two corals, but there might be. Leo Bonhart, we saw artwork for him. We saw the Celiano Harpy. Pronunciation, forgive me, but now that was a card that had animated art and everything, and that's definitely a monster card. It has to be. So it's just not in the game, but and we know that Drowners are going to change because called it.
we know almost, they basically have said if they've made card art for the card, they are going to put it in. They'll figure out how to make it work. So something like that Harpy are going to be put into the game eventually. I think they're just not in there now for balance reasons.
Yeah. Got to call it Shifu's comment here. Coral, Rick Grimes' son, Walking Dead reference to the actor and how he says the name Carl. Coral.
All right. So we have another question that came in. Jergi, Jergii in chat wants to know if there will be a wipe after the beta. So after the beta, there's going to be a wipe. They've kind of confirmed that a couple of times, I want to say, from what I've seen from CD Projekt Red. So we don't know how card buying is going to work, whether or not it can happen during the beta, but they are going to wipe it. So anything that we've done will be removed from the annals of history. Unfortunately.
Yeah, and how that wipe is going to kind of reflect our wallets if we decide to, have a couple drinks one night, want to open a couple of kegs, what's going to happen, it feels good. We'll see what happens with that. I mean,
is that your best New York accent?
Is that a New York accent? I don't know.
Was that your
it's just my funny voice. I don't know. I'm just making a funny voice. Hey, Bally.
It's definitely New York.
I can do Boston a bit better, but I don't know. I can't do anything very well when it comes to accents. So I won't try. You, on the other hand, will try. And I respect that. Zoltan. All right. So, geez, what haven't we covered? I feel like we talked about a lot of stuff. Whoa, here's something we didn't cover. Did you guys catch Gontor O'Dim? Shout out to King Blacktooth. Doesn't look like he's Gontor O'Shit anymore.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's pretty good. He comes in basically at a differential strength value of 11. He's a 5-strength unit, spawns 3 1-strength shadows on the melee row, and each of those shadows pings a random unit for 1 damage immediately. It doesn't happen on death. It happens on cast. So 8 strength on your board, -3 to their board, and it's a silver card. So, I mean, that's good. Silver cards that go above 10 are pretty good, considering that there's vanilla silver cards that don't do anything that are at 10, like Jutta and Damoon, the new Sheldon Skaggs, specifically, I'm thinking of. So Gontor O'Dim seems good. Seems like a good card if you just want to, cause some ruckus, I guess.
Yeah, he's excellent. Hey, one more thing, since we're kind of on the topic, is we watched the stream and they did not open a single keg. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. They didn't open it. I mean, we understand the mechanics, I think, unless they changed it. You open the keg, you get to pick 1 of 3 cards, and then you get your remaining 4 cards random, and the 3 cards you pick are rare or better. So, like, I think we heard how that might be, but we didn't get to see it, unfortunately. So we're going to have to wait another 20 hours, 47 minutes, and 9 seconds until somebody will be able to open a keg on stream. Don't know if it's going to be me. Don't know if it's going to be Josh. Don't know if it's going to be any of you folks.
We'd be popping bottles up in here.
Popping bottles. Cracking crates. So... Chess asks a very good question. How many card kegs are you guys going to buy? Very topical. You want to answer this one first?
It depends on how much they cost, first of all, and it depends on what the process is for. Yeah. Are they gonna let us play with the store? Are they going to give us credits that we can play with in the store that we can buy with real money? That would be the easiest way. If we buy currency and then we use the currency to buy kegs. That way they can simulate purchase of currency, and then they'll let us use the currency to buy the kegs, and they'll give us 20 or something at the start of the beta, whatever it is to get a few kegs.
Yeah.
Whether or not we can spend real money on something they're going to wipe, I feel like they wouldn't be up for that. I'm not going to throw away a ton of money on decks that are going to be wiped. I don't know how comfortable I am with that. Not that I won't buy some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already invested, right? This microphone is an investment. Like, I've already invested myself in Gwent. So It's but that's a really good point. It really does matter how much it costs. I don't know if I have a dollar amount in mind or a keg amount in mind, but yeah. I mean, I know what I would do if I had access to every card in the game.
Yeah.
But if I don't have access to every card in the game, maybe I'll just buy packs until I get decoy. I haven't really decided yet. I'm of the mind that I'm a weak man, and I'm going to buy lots of kegs because my passion knows no bounds sometimes. I live beyond my means sometimes.
You have to hunt the decoy, man. We got to hunt it.
I got to get it.
I'll tell you what. I'll buy as many decks as it takes, or as many kegs as it takes to get a decoy.
You want to match me? You want to play chicken? I'm going for another 50.
We're fools. We're utter fools, but we love what we do.
Yeah. Oh, so King Blacktooth in the chat says he's referencing what Hearthstone did. So in the early days of their beta, or one of their rounds of beta, you could spend money, get packs, you'd open packs. You actually even got a bonus special like golden card if you participated in the beta purchasing. So if CD Projekt Red wants to throw any special premium cards our way for supporting them during the beta, I won't say no. But he mentions that what Hearthstone did is that they reimbursed the currency, and I think it was in-game currency, so however many packs you bought, you got that much currency back. I don't know if it was real money or not. And then you could basically re-spend it, and then you kept that stuff. That did happen for one round of beta. It didn't happen for the beta before launch. The stuff that you bought in the beta before launch, you kept. But it's possible that between the closed beta and the open beta, there may be like one final kind of iteration of purchasing or that kind of understanding. Because I think that when they go into the open beta phase, and especially into the launch phase, that the extreme changes that may kind of change the value of the cards you have, aka, let's say you had a Priscilla and you don't like her anymore. Like, you're not spending your money anymore. I know, it really upsets you. I'll stop talking. I won't say your name anymore. She who shall not be named. So you want to like make sure that you're spending money on the stuff that's good.
My waifu.
Waifu Priscilla.
Oh,
we'll see if there's a reimbursement phase in that.
It should be. That's how it logically should work. And I don't want to tell everybody who's watching that they're going to reimburse their money when we don't really know yet. And
I wish
they'd confirm that. I mean, that would have made so much, so many questions in our head go away.
Yeah.
And we'd know what to expect at launch. They didn't open a single keg, and they hadn't actually said they were going to do that. So
it's funny. And the values, like their little like things at the top of the screen, like that they changed them. By the way, there was the little Pop-Tart looking things look different, and the little crown looking things look like they were just kind of blue banners. And then there was the keg icon as well. They all had dashes next to them, as in they had zero or an amount that couldn't be shown. So. But they didn't do it. And it's possible that they didn't do it for a reason. Maybe they overpromised what they'd be able to do with that build that they had running.
Yeah, so Shifu comes with the next question. He asks, wants to know whether or not we are, what factions we're going to play first. So you had asked this question on Twitter a long time ago, and I said monsters after the first KTS, and I have changed my mind.
Yeah? Well, you love your Northern Realms.
I got to be Northern
Realms. And they're still good.
Boy,
I mean, Don't let the Priscilla change her fool you. Northern Realm still has a really good core, I think.
Yeah.
Formidable.
The Priscilla deck that I built was just a modification of a strong Northern Realms deck that actually ended up having another path to victory with Priscilla, which is now gone. So there's still a ton of viable options for Northern Realms. So for me, it's got to be Northern Realms.
Yeah. And I think for me, it does depend on what I get. I think, like I said, if I had access to all the cards in the game, I would probably want to see how competitive and fun King Brand's deck. I had a King Brand deck that I have tested out in fake games, very much a discard-based Clan Doomun Pirate Captain kind of leads the charge in that deck. And it felt really cool, really fluid, sort of your cards are going all over the place, discarding in and out of the deck. I want to see, I just want to know like how good that is. So I'm going to try to play that. It looks like if the deck that they were playing on the stream is close to the starter deck that we'll see for Skellige, that a lot of those cards are already in the deck. You got the Raiders, you got your Pirates. They had Burnabran. That was one of them. They had Donner and Hindar. It was actually very close to the deck that I had thought about. It was just missing Pirate Captains and War Longships. So if all I have to do is open up Pirate Captains and War Longships, I'm in business. Otherwise, I'll play whatever I think I can make the most interesting and fun deck for me and just start learning. Because it's half of it's going to be the deck you play, and the other half is going to be every deck you play against. You're going to learn a bunch each game. It's going to be an overload.
And that's something that we've learned playing against each other. I think we've played a dozen or so tabletop games against each other at this point.
Yeah, about a dozen, I'd say.
And we felt that watching this stream, we would make better moves than the developers did from that level of experience. So just imagine how much experience you're going to have at the end of the day tomorrow, being able to build your own deck and being able to choose your own faction and maybe even buy kegs.
Well, it's all in my imagination right now because, I mean, we all want to get into the beta. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who, if they're getting in. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's more of a matter of when. They wanted to stress that there are waves of invites. So while I am going to be refreshing my email like a fiend at 1 o'clock, I am not going to I'm not going to be super disappointed if it's not right at 1 o'clock. I'm talking about Eastern Standard Time for me. Of course, I'm talking about 7 p.m. Central European Standard Time. But I hope I can play at some point tomorrow. I'll take any time. I don't want to go through another sleep, another three meals, believe me. And just to clarify, I don't know if you addressed this. Just to clarify, I don't know if you addressed this. We are not saying that there's going to be any sort of wipe at all, purchase refunds or anything. We don't know at all if that's going to happen. That's just something that another card game did. Just want to make that crystal clear. They did not say that on stream. They did not say anything of the sort on stream. Okay? Just want to make that very, very clear. Nope. So, just checking to see if there's any more questions before maybe we wrap this up.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't know.
And just after the legal disclaimer, we can say whatever we want, right? So I would probably spend like $100-$200 on PAX if it was going to be refunded. I mean, what do I care? If it's going to be refunded,
well, you're not you might not get it refunded in real money though. You might get it refunded in Pop-Tarts and banners and crowns or whatever, florins and orins and crowns.
So yeah, whatever it takes to get decoy then.
Whatever it takes.
I want Bork, I want Decoy, and I want Priscilla. All right, I'll make her work.
My friend, we're happy to entertain any more comments or questions at Commander's Horn. Your question to make sure that we catch it for sure. Stretchy is saying, I saw. He's commenting on why he said that he thinks that the missing card that wasn't shown in the collection was a golden neutral. And his reasoning is that he saw that it was a golden when they went into the neutral specifically during the stream towards the end. So it's possible that they hit like a tab at the top that separated the golds. And that's where he saw that there was one missing out of a total amount. And I'm going to go back to that past broadcast probably right after the stream and take a look at that. But Gum Faceplant in the chat. What do I care? Gray Boxer 2016. He's a rich man.
This is life post Priscilla. Okay, I'm dealing with the loss of a loved one here. So
he's not thinking rationally.
Maybe I'm having a problem. It literally happened right before the stream started. This giant nerf to my entire strategy.
Oh man, yeah. Mahakman's like, you still want her even after she betrayed you so badly.
I'm that guy.
I don't think she did that. I think she's been abused, and I think he just wants to shelter her and make sure that she's safe and happy in a nice warm Northern Realms deck.
Nice warm hug. Nice warm blanket of not being hit by weather because I'll buff you.
Yeah. Josh, we had a pretty good time here. It's been about an hour and a bit. Anything you wanted to talk about the stream or about anything that's happening in chat or anything that's happening generally before maybe we wrap things up?
Yeah, I'm actually just really hoping that everybody in this channel and everybody in Discord gets an invite to the beta, also known as the beta. And if everybody gets in the beta, man, we are going to have some tournaments. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
I can't
wait. We can just sign up to challenge.com or whatever it is. We just make a bracket and we just get it on. Like, just let's why even wait? I'm not saying that we're going to organize a tournament day of, but I think that once we have an idea of who got in and we see, because we've got some channels in the Discord, the beta talk, the beta analysis, let's talk about it. We'll talk about who gets in, who's playing, and And maybe by the end of the week, we can throw something together. Just all good, clean fun, nothing official, and nothing needs to be a big, huge thing. But I think it'd be a lot of fun if we could do something like that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Commander's Horn presents, you know, the Gwent tourney of 2016 or something, you know, something like that. We could do something fun where we become a part of it. We either host it, we can shoutcast it. Man, I'd love to shoutcast a Gwent match.
For sure. Well, I think that, yeah, shoutcasting a Gwent match, casting a tournament, even playing co-op games, just like this, you and me on Skype, and we got a game going off one of our accounts, and we're just talking about our plays. There's just a lot of great fun stuff that we can do. Mahakman wants to make it very clear that the only person who was abusing Priscilla was you, Josh. You were the one who was doing it. But he also wants to see official Commander's Horn Open tournament, so that's... That's fun.
Open.
Hey,
yeah.
my pleasure. I won't even be in it. I would be happy to cast those games.
You would meet the requisite win rate.
You know what? The world is our oyster. All possibilities are open to us. It feels like you know, the world is about to change, and we are here on Gwentmas Eve, the 24th of October.
Yeah, we've got a ton of people in here. What do you guys want to see? I mean, if you say it, and we'll tell you if it can happen.
Well, I mean,
we're looking at expanding our content, so.
Yeah, for sure. Guys on the stream said it was 9 out of 10 gold neutral cards, but Gwent DB shows only 9 gold and neutrals. Another card incoming. Could be.
It's the new Priscilla, obviously.
Yeah. It's Priscilla colon something else. No, probably not Priscilla. But there's probably somebody we're not thinking of. Maybe... Geez, a gold card, man. It's just, you think of big names and you think of the names that aren't there, that aren't faction specific. I'm not sure I know it yet. Anyway, speculation, man.
Maybe.
Yeah, we can have a pool, maybe. Everybody just put a name into the pool. We'll see who's right, but that's unofficial. This is off the top of my head. I think this is good. I think we covered this. We don't want to run too long, take up too much time. I think that we covered the stream. It was a lot of fun to watch that.
Yeah.
Every moment of that stream was just like delicious. And every second after this stream will feel like an eternity. But we'll get there. We'll make it to tomorrow. We're going to wake up. We're going to have our breakfast. We're going to have our lunch. We're going to sit down. We're going to rub our hands together. And we're going to open up our emails. We're going to get on Discord and we're going to chat, and it's going to be a time tomorrow. I'm really excited. Josh, you want to plug anything before we go?
Yeah. I'm not going to let a good question hang. All right. Mm. First of all, we got a recommendation. It might be Vilgefortz, which is a really, really powerful sorcerer.
True.
That
yeah.
Maybe that it would have an awesome effect. I'm sure he might be missing because they're trying to balance him.
Could be Leo too.
Last Aqua Splash wants to know, where do you see Gwent in 6 months or a year or two? Does this have the potential to become an esport? I'm telling you, this game is small right now, and this is the smallest it will ever be, mm-hmm. because this game has a lot of unique aspects to it that don't exist in other card games, and it isn't afraid to embrace its uniqueness in terms of adding different sorts of mechanics to the game that don't exist in other games, and not trying to be like anything else. It's grabbed a few things from maybe Hearthstone and other card games that mechanics that they use to be successful, but I feel like if Gwent doesn't have an esports community in a year, I will be shocked.
Yeah, I think a game that you're designing to be a competitive card game, we're talking about esports potential. There's potential. Don't get me wrong. If people were playing this game like people were playing Hearthstone, and we all know that, if you're not familiar with their subscriber numbers, and I know you can take it with a grain of salt because it's active accounts, and we know that, you know, there's some shady business there, but they have boasted 10, 20, 30 million accounts. So to even get a slice of that pie is very, very good for Gwent. Gum Face Punch in the channel saying that they peaked at about 7,000 viewers for the stream. That's a lot of people. That's more people that I've seen post on Reddit, more people I see on Discord, and a lot more people that I see on the forum. So that's clearly a lot of interest in a game that maybe doesn't have a huge vocal minority. And I think you can say vocal minority if you're talking about 7,000 people paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
But they also got the front page of Twitch. I noticed when I loaded up Twitch, they were right there. So they got the premium placement. They got a lot of people watching that maybe got to see that stuff for the first time. Good for them.
Talking about the new hotness here, baby.
Yeah, but if we're talking about 6 years, 1 year, or 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, it's really going to depend, I think, on the popularity. I think that a $1 million tournament is very optimistic for the short term. But I think that it's really going to depend. I mean, you look at Blizzard, they have an esports division. You know, look at League of Legends. They basically are the NFL of esports. Like, they have put so much work into the infrastructure of esports as a whole, for video games as a whole. Like, you can't have a conversation without those names. So will they get there? I mean, I hope so. I want them to. I want to be a part of it. I think it's really, really cool. Will they get there? We'll see. I really hope they do. Yeah. I hope this game is competitive and interesting. And it's definitely unique. We know it's very different in the way it's played, draw-wise, random-wise, resource-wise. There's not a game out there like it. And we do know that Witcher 3 Wild Hunt was Game of the Year last year, and that they sold 1 billion copies of it. So they've got a little bit of brand authority behind this game. It's the Witcher card game, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's got clout. So let's just hope. And I think that they, one more thing, sorry, I feel like I'm talking for a long time. We've seen their presence at cons. We've seen the effort that they've gone through. You know, when they launched, they had the huge banners on the sides of buildings, lots of out-of-home advertising, their presence at cons, huge spaces, huge footprints, lots of cosplayers, lots of promotion. They're gonna advertise. I don't need to say much more than that. If you're committed to promoting your game and you've got an advertising budget and you're localized for the 6 or 7 or 8 languages that Christine mentioned on stream, I don't think there's any half measures here. I think that success is in their sights, and it's just gonna come down to how many people pick it up and love it. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
No more half measures.
No half measures, Walter. So, oh, man. Yeah, man. That's what I got to say about that.
All right. Well, I'm going to plug myself, I guess, to wrap it up here. This is Greyboxer, and you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Greyboxer anytime. I like to stream a little bit of Witcher now and then, and I will be streaming a lot of Gwent. And I like to talk about my my strategy as I play and everything, so it's a lot of fun. You can also follow me on Twitter at GreyboxerGwent.
I am Dane McBeard. You can find me at McBearded on Twitch. I have been playing The Witcher 2 every weekday at 3 p.m. Obviously, we didn't do that today because we're doing this. Oops. Witcher 2 currently remains unfinished, so I'm going to find the time to beat that game. I don't know if I'll be streaming tonight or if I'll be streaming tomorrow before beta starts. I would like to finish it before Gwent pretty much takes over all of my time as far as a media standpoint. I got to eat some lunch, I think. I'm getting a little hungry. So I'll definitely be doing that after the stream. But Witcher 2, I would love to complete that on stream for all of you. I would love to beat the operator. That's a hard fight. That's McBearded at Twitch. You can find me on Twitter at McBeardCH. And of course, you can find me on YouTube when I start to get some great Gwent footage to cut together for you. My name is McBeard at YouTube as well. Commander's Horn posts weekly on Thursdays. You can find us every Thursday, however you choose to subscribe, or you can go to commandershorn.com to listen to it directly from the blog. It's where we just kind of store all the episodes, but hit that player, man. It's the same quality.
Yeah, so we're an independent podcast, so if you can leave us a review on iTunes, that would be huge for us. We can only grow as much as our audience helps us, so yeah. We would love to have your support there too.
It costs you nothing but time, and your time is so much appreciated. You take the time to listen to us every week, and you take the time to tune into our stream. For that, we are very, very grateful to the community for their support, all of their messages, every upvote, follow, rating, every star, every metric you want. Is so, so appreciated. So that's, if you ever want to email us directly at the podcast, if you have a question you want us to address on stream, that's commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. You also send any questions you want at commandershorn on Twitter as well. I'm going to play the music as we fade out here, but it was absolutely fantastic to have all of you on the stream with us. Thank you so much, Commander's Horn Live. Successful.
Yeah.
What can I say, right, man? Gwent, we're ready. Oh, let's go. Let's go.
So hyped. So hyped.
Take care, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks again, everybody. We're going to cut the stream right here.
All right, later, guys.
See you tomorrow.